You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Now, when you think about robots, right, you probably think science fiction, Robbie the Robot, or construction, you know, manufacturing robots, the robots that make the cars on the assembly lines. You probably don't think about something that can drive hundreds of miles across the desert wilderness without human intervention. But I think the closest thing we have to that now are those two Mars rovers right there on Mars that are robots driving across the deserts of Mars. But if you didn't get to Mars, you can't get there this weekend. We have something better for you. This weekend, a small fleet of robotic vehicles, about 15 teams, will head from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, racing in hopes of winning a $1 million prize. It's called the Grand Challenge, and it's being sponsored by the Defense Advanced Projects Research Agency, or as they call it, DARPA. Joining me now to talk about the race is Colonel Jose Negron of the U.S. Air Force. He's program manager for the DARPA Grand Challenge, and he joins us from the vicinity of the race course. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's afternoon there. It's morning here in California.
Colonel Negron, how is the clock counting down till tomorrow?
Absolutely. We just announced our pole position for the top 15 teams. They're all excited, and they're all on our way to Barstow, California. And we're going to start the event tomorrow morning at 6:30.
Now, these robots are sort of, they're like modified, different kinds of modified cars. And I think what's really interesting here is they're not being driven by joysticks or remote control, right? They have to go on their own for 200 miles.
That's correct. What's really important about this event, the DARPA Grand Challenge, while we're here having a lot of fun testing the various vehicles, is that this robotic technology will be harvested and sent back to the military so that we can save American lives. Mm-hmm. More importantly, this robotic technology is really leveraging the capability that these 21 teams that showed up here at California to test their vehicles, and especially the 15 that will advance tomorrow to test these technologies out in the open desert. So the U.S. military will definitely take advantage of the robotic capability. After all, we have a congressional mandate that we must convert a third of our vehicles into autonomous vehicle by 2015.
Wow. So this is a sort of proof of concept here.
Oh, absolutely. The last 5 days, we've been in a laboratory called the California Motor Speedway, and tomorrow morning, we go out of the laboratory and actually have a field event where we test 15 vehicles and see their capabilities as they progress from Barstow to Prim, Nevada.
Give us an idea of what the terrain is like there. Hey, you kept the course secret, didn't you?
I have a coin secret because most people will not get the information until 2 hours before the event. So approximately 4:30 in the morning, teams will be loading onto their computer our CD with the route information or waypoints. But you cannot traverse the Mojave in the course that we laid out just by waypoint following or what we call global positioning following. You really have to develop the sensor technology, and that's part of the DARPA Grand Challenge, is to acquire and take a look at the various sensors that these teams have brought forth. And we have 15 teams tomorrow so that we can take a look at the technology and invest in that technology for future use of the military.
So these are, give us an idea what some of these cars look like, and who is the favorite in this race?
Well, everybody believes that Carnegie Mellon, Big Red, is the favorite. They led in the pole position. They had the fastest time, approximately 6 minutes and 40 seconds. And so they were traversing the obstacle course very quickly. But we also have Team 21, Ebit, Scientonic 2, Caltech, Team 5, Digital Auto Drive, Team 7, Virginia Tech, Axiom Racing, and, of course, Team Cajunbot, just to name a few.
Wow.
The vehicles themselves, it's a mixed bag. I mean, we go from the Blue Team, which is a motorcycle, to Terramax, which is an Oshkosh truck, a 20-ton truck. And if you could see the technology in that vehicle, where it comes to a barricade or a gate, senses a gate, and squeezes by the gate, or if it's positioned to the right of the gate, it actually senses the gate and backs up and then repositions itself and moves forward. It's quite an impressive sight.
Did you place gates and obstacles on the course, or is it just the natural terrain that it has to get, these cars have to go through?
Well, we had at the California Speedway for the last 5 days, we call it the qualification inspection demonstration. So that's what we've been doing. We've been qualifying the cars. We've been inspecting the cars. We want to make sure that these vehicles, and I call them cars, these are robots, are totally unmanned. No wireless system, no tethering. These are totally unmanned. They must maneuver through the terrain by themselves. So at the California Speedway, what we did is we built and simulated the desert environment, which these vehicles will encounter tomorrow. And so we've got cattle gates, we've got power line towers, we've got sand pits, gravel pits, we've got on-road, we've got off-road, we've got washes. And so these cars were put through their paces as we went through the exercise at the California Speedway for the qualification inspection demonstration.
What are the odds that any of these cars will be able to finish that race? 200 miles in a gauntlet that never been run before?
That's a good question. But what I'd like to say, what's really important, is harvesting the technology and providing a venue so that we can test a robotic technology, because we're really at Lindbergh crossing the Atlantic. We're at the very beginning of doing the robotic integration of mechanical software hardware. And so to say that, will we have a winner tomorrow? I don't know. But to say that we could not traverse the obstacle course this past Monday when we started, there was a lot of naysayers out there, and we had 15 teams that did various portions of that course.
Very impressive. 1-800-989-8255. Shannon in San Francisco, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. Although I'm a big fan of technology and I use it every day, I'm kind of nervous about efforts to make unmanned vehicles that can terrain just about any kind of territory. Don't you think that's going to just make a potential for war that much greater, given the amount of American lives being currently lost in Iraq and how that's causing quite a bit of discontent among the American people?
Well, thanks for asking the question. Remember, the purpose of the technology development is to save lives. And we have soldiers, airmen, Marines, and sailors out in harm's way every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of this technology is to develop it so that we can use it and save American lives. And I just don't see it the other way. Every soldier knows, every sailor, every airman, every Marine knows that he will go into harm's way, and we need to provide him the best technology so he can encounter his enemy in the future battlefields.
Mm-hmm. How long is it going to take for DARPA to take what it learns in this race tomorrow and bring it to the battlefield?
We believe that we've already learned quite a bit. Of course, our mandate is 2015, but we believe we have certain technologies, for example, mapping, and the processing of the digitalization of the mapping is a critical piece. That was kind of a secondary factor that we received. But there's also some sensing capabilities that we noticed on these 15 vehicles that may be rapidly turned around, and hopefully by 2007, 2010, we can see little nuggets of technology that were demonstrated here in the desert, in the Mojave Desert on the 13th, back into the military. And by 2015, you will definitely be seeing autonomous vehicles.
Hmm. Let's go to Joe in Minneapolis. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thank you very much, Ira. My son, he's 14 years old, and he's in Burgess Robotics. He just wrote to a friend of his that he wants to design a robot that thinks for itself. And I'm well beyond the wall myself in my ability to be able to guide him and whatnot. We just can't find many resources here that continue to both pique his curiosity, but more importantly, to give him the venue to be able to design more robots. He builds them from scratch.
Wow.
He's built very robots similar to what you're describing, where they can sense when they've hit an obstacle, they back up, they sense where they can go, where there is no obstacle in its path, and then it can move on. And these are not kits. These are all from scratch.
Colonel's going to send you a job application form, I think.
Absolutely. Those are the kind of kids that we're trying to track, not only in DARPA, but into other professions. I cannot tell you what the DARPA Grand Challenge has done. It's the kids out there, just like your son, who are grabbed the robotics. Never, not since the 1960s in the Apollo program have we really converted the enthusiasm for people to study science. And it's either all the sciences, you know, engineering, the math, all the backgrounds are needed to compete and develop this robotic vehicle. One of the things, I'll tell you a little story. I had a double E major come to me and says, "Hey, Colonel, I would never have thought I would be working on hardware and computer software, and I'm much better off by integrating those three disciplines today than I was a couple years ago, and thank you for the opportunity."
That's great, and this is exactly where he's at also. He's an A-plus student in all disciplines that he,
well, you know, there are a lot of universities that specialize in robotics, like Carnegie Mellon and other places.
Carnegie Mellon, Caltech, the Cajun Bot from Lafayette, Louisiana. I mean, they're all working on this. So there's a lot of universities, there's a lot of interest in there. And one of the things the DARPA Grand Challenge has really done is galvanize the community in robotic field.
They've really focused
them.
Is there any way to follow this race somehow while it's going on?
Oh, absolutely. I encourage everybody to go to www.grandchallenge.org, and you can see the challenge itself as it progresses down the Mojave Desert into Prim. We leave at Barstow at 6:30 in the morning, and hopefully by 6 o'clock in the evening, we'll be at Prim.
Well, so that's 12 hours for 200 miles.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And so each team must traverse the course in less than 10 hours. We've given them an extra 2 hours of daylight just to clean up the course and bring people home who may not have the opportunity to make it.
Good luck, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. So you have going, I was talking about, you know, the rovers on Mars. You've got something, it sounds almost as sophisticated here going on.
Well, it's a different a system at Mars, but what we're trying to do is definitely compare our robotic technology and exploratory ventures that we're doing right now for the future. And to see an automobile, we've had SUVs out here, motorcycles, the Oshkosh truck, like I said, 20-ton truck. It is very impressive to see that vehicle traverse and navigate and steer through obstacles. It's quite impressive.
Are you going to do this every year?
Well, right now, Dr. Tether, my boss, the director of DARPA, is considering another one. We promised the public we would have another one. The time frame still is being in negotiation, but within 12 to 24 months, we'll probably have another one.
You know, because everybody's going to say, how do I get in on this thing? You know?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things the DARPA Grand Challenge has really brought out is everybody could participate in this event. And what's really interesting and fabulous for me is see the demographics of the teams that came to the Speedway to show their technology.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're trying to reach out to folks who did not participate in the Department of Defense acquisition process. We're really trying to find that new idea out there. We're trying to look at out-of-the-box thinking. And so we didn't tell them what size to build the bots. We didn't tell them what kind of programs to put in their software. We wanted to learn from them, and we certainly have this past week. And on March 13th at 6:30 in the morning, we will see those bots traverse the Mojave Desert.
Talking with Colonel Jose Negron of the U.S. Air Force, a program manager for DARPA's Grand Challenge, this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. It will be exciting to follow how this progresses. Let's go to Andy in Baltimore. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
Hi there. First thing I got to say is I'm a truck driver. I'm driving around Baltimore, but I'm from Pittsburgh, so go Big Red.
Big Red.
I had a comment, maybe a question. I read about this earlier in the month in Scientific American magazine, and they profiled Big Red quite extensively in there. And I remember one of the things that they were saying in there was that really the hard part wasn't so much building a robot that could guide itself, but it was one that could guide itself as fast as these will need to go. If you can go really slow, you can build one that'll guide itself. But to get it at the speed to make the course in time was the hard part, and the big part of that was due to the fact that of all the bumps and the rough terrain shaking the sensors and everything else. And so I was wondering, would a hover be allowed? Because that would tend to smooth out the bumps.
Well, for this year, we wanted everything to be ground and be able to touch the ground. The next time we hold this event, of course, we're going to open it up a little bit further. But that's still a decision that needs to be decided.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
And like I said, go Big Red.
All right.
Thanks. Big Red is a modified Humvee, is it not?
It is a modified Humvee, and in fact, it qualified first during our QID, qualification, inspection, and demonstration, and it will do very well. It has a possibility of completing the course.
Mm. What do you say to those people who are worried about the environment of the desert, of driving Humvees around in the desert there and kicking up, you know, the wildlife?
Well, I understand their concerns more than anything else, but remember, what we're trying to do is develop a military realistic mission. And there's no place other than the Mojave Desert to do this, provide the distance that a military tactical mission will be conducted in future battlefields. If you see our soldiers and airmen and sailors and Marines, they're in Iraq and Afghanistan, and this is the territory we need to simulate. So I appreciate their concerns. But the other thing is, DARPA has really worked hard with the Bureau of Land Management, the Fish and Wildlife, and we're really doing everything we can to protect the environment. I have layers and layers of safety, and DARPA has gone ahead and hired 20 biologists so that they can track the wildlife and the endangered species, and we've really worked hand in hand with the Department of Interior to make sure this is a safe and environmentally friendly event.
Yeah, I even noticed you have some tortoise marshals to watch out to comb the desert for tortoises that might get in the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. These biologists, I call them, I kind of joke with them a little bit, but we are building a little plastic fence for them so that the tortoises, we have gone through the route itself and marked their habitats. We want to make sure that this event is conducted safely and without endangering the environment.
So 4 a.m. tomorrow morning, they get their little CDs, load them into their computers, and they're off.
That's correct. And unfortunately, the teams will stay back at Barstow, and they'll watch it like the rest of us.
Oh, is that right?
On the www.grandchallenge.org.
Are there cameras all over the place?
We do have cameras. And we are going to, it's a live shot into Prim, Nevada, and then, of course, you can webcast it a lot and download some videos in certain selected areas.
Well, good luck to you, Colonel. It's the Grand Challenge taking place. 15 teams of robotic, I guess, cars we can call them, right? They're going to
absolutely
make their way from Los Angeles 200 miles into the desert, and we'll see who wins.
All right. Well, let's not forget about the technology that we're going to harvest for the military man and women. So thank you very much for having me, and good luck to all the teams tomorrow.
Thank you, Colonel Jose Negron of the U.S. Air Force. He's a program manager for the DARPA Grand Challenge taking place this weekend, and you can watch it on the web if you can't get out. Well, no one's going to be out there to look at it. It's all going to be independent. We're going to take a short break. Change gears again when we come back. The latest images from the Hubble Space Telescope. Furthest look back into the beginnings of the universe we've had. Visual images, what scientists might get out of them. Stay with us.